if you build it, they will come, but where will they park? Do we have enough? We're going to go there. Do we have enough parking places in downtown Port Huron? And if not, what do we do to address that? Mr. Payne?
Build more parking lots, I guess. Just develop it, that's the only thing I can say.
Okay. Anita?
Okay, I don't know if I'm at liberty, because my last meeting, it was confidential on the parking. I think it still is. Is that correct, James? Just shake your head. So we are working on that, on the added parking downtown. So I think that is all I'm at liberty to say.
All right, problem solved. Next question.
Do the best we can. Yeah, yeah, but we are, we do have that in progress.
Okay. Terry?
Again, yes, we do have that in progress. But we've made some changes also. If you've noticed, certain signs are gone here. It's three-hour parking now if you're on the streets. Over by Quay Street, they've added parking on the one-way area. So they are adjusting. There's certain specific areas for employees that work downtown. You know, there's signs around. And unfortunately, you might have to walk a little bit, but I know it's not ideal in the wintertime, but there are lots distance. I'd like to see some actual signs that would show, but.
John?
What a great problem to have. It means that our downtown's thriving, and, you know, if you had said this 10 years ago, I mean, it's an awesome problem to have. And it's a problem that I think is only heightened in Facebook and also on TalkBack. But I mean, like I said, I walked across the city, and not once did parking get brought up when I asked them what the problems of the city are. So,
okay, Lisa?
I love this problem. There wasn't too long ago that you could park anywhere you wanted in downtown, right? There was nothing going on downtown. So the fact that we are having to walk and we're becoming a walkable community, I think that's a great problem. The fact that there are now bikes that you can rent to tool around, I think that's also a great way to get around in our downtown. I think there was a study done not too long ago that talked about the parking in Port Huron, and we do have spots open. It's just maybe not in front of the exact door you want to get in front of. So I think that as we grow, this is going to continue to be a problem. But for right now, I say bring that one on. I love buying new shoes, so I'll get my walk-in sneakers out. And we'll walk or bike where we need to go downtown.
Bob?
What John said, I couldn't agree more with. What a great problem to have. I can't remember having this problem since I was a young kid coming downtown with my folks to Kresge's or Sperry's and having to tool around to find a spot. In my opinion, we don't have a parking problem as much as we have a walking problem. If you are to go to Royal Oak or down Detroit Way, Sterling Heights, you have to walk several blocks, and that's all part of it. If we want to expand and bring growth to downtown, bring businesses and bring income, there's going to be times you have to walk. Obviously, we do need more lots, and it sounds like there's a solution in the works right now, but I like I said, it's more of a walking problem than a parking problem. And I'm down here several nights a week shopping, eating, and taking care of business for my business, and I never seem to have a problem parking. So thank you.
I have to agree. I was shocked when I first started running, and I found out that people thought this was a major issue, and I thought to myself, I have never not had a parking spot downtown ever, and I go downtown a lot. And I thought about it, and I realized, you know, when I came home from college, I could park in front of Casey's door and walk like 10 feet in and go get my pizza. Some nights, if I'm lucky, I can still do that. But usually I got to go park around back. Sometimes I have to park in a parking lot next door, but it's never been more than half a block away. And I think when I think back to when I was in college and I worked in Ann Arbor, and I had to, if I didn't want to pay for parking, I had to park about 6 blocks away. And then I had to go move my car every, you know, 3 hours because it was going to get marked on the tire and I'd get a parking ticket. So, you know, it's a great problem to have if we, you know, if we are. And again, I went to Moe's today for lunch. I parked right in front of his door. And so I'm glad that there's a solution. I think we have micro parking problems. We don't have a macro parking problem. You know, I hear of these small scenarios where, you know, one example someone gave me was oftentimes, I think it's maybe on Tuesdays when Sperry's does their, you know, cheaper movie nights, then a lot of people end up parking in front of the Council on Aging, right? And so that's a micro problem. That's not, we don't, Port Huron doesn't have a huge parking problem. We have a small problem at a certain time that's affecting a certain population that we need to do our best to help those businesses and those organizations address together. I think we can do that. But overall, I think it's great that people have to find a spot to come hang out in Port Huron. Answers the last question that we were looking at.
Marissa?
Yes, so once again, I have never had a parking problem here. But as the city continues to develop, I think that we should go ahead and propose the idea of building parking structures in areas that are accessible to
A few people have brought up rental housing, and so is there something that the city can do to help put more families into homes so that they can buy their own homes? And do we have too many rental homes, rental properties in Port Huron? Mr. Payne, we'll start with you.
What, I don't understand the question.
So what can the city do to help people make homes, what can the city do to make homes more affordable for first-time buyers? And are there too many rental properties in Port Huron?
Well, apparently there's a need for it. I have some rental properties myself. And if they can get into some financing for the lower income people, would be helpful. That's about it.
Okay. Anita?
Okay, we do have programs for rental housing and also for the affordability where we work with the banks. Dave Haynes run that department. And if you have some free time, we have a display outside in our lobby across the street. So we are doing our best that we can to meet our residents halfway to become homeowners. And I think we just had an open house last Saturday on a home that we had just redid. So I think the people are happy in that. I mean, we're not moving like gangbusters, but we're doing it, and we have the program in place.
Terry,
we have too many rentals? I remember it was one time we were at 48%, I heard, but we were at 70%, so we must be doing something right. Thank you.
Terry?
Yes. Again, we do have the programs that are in that are there, and again, the homes that they've remodeled are available. I guess you just need to come and see what we have to offer. As far as too many rentals, they keep an eye on them very closely. We've just had a few issues with some blight issues. A lot of the owners are not residents of even the state, so but they keep a close eye on them.
I've talked to blight enforcer here in Port Huron, and she says the misconception is that blight is just for rentals. And she says, no, it's not that. It's also home ownership. So I think we need to, you know, steer away from blaming the rentals on all our blight. I think there's programs here that we just need to highlight. And communication, I think, is really important to make sure that people are aware of all the programs available.
About a year ago, I bought my condo. So before that, I was renting. And renting to me was an important, it came to me at an important time in my life where I needed that transitional housing. And being able to rent provided me the opportunity to save in order to get my own. So I think that renting and having rentals available in our community are important for people like myself that are transitioning, or as we're getting new residents in the area that they have somewhere to start before they decide where they want to land. I think that the programs that are available, we need to do a better job of communicating those to potential homeowners so that they can take advantage of the programs that are available.
I don't know so much that there's a rental property, and I know I've touched on this quite a bit. Like I said, I did property manage several units over the years. It's not a sense of low-income people or blight. It's, for me, I want it to be a sense of pride for them. like I said, owning your own home, remember owning your first home and how proud you were of it, and you'll clean your yard and you'll help your neighbors, and that's how you adjust neighborhoods and you get good neighborhoods. That's how it leads to strong schools, because we all know strong schools make strong communities. Let's get the houses available for people. I'm going to, as much as I can, look into ways to get, again, our lending institutions, our banks, to help out. I don't think they're as readily available as we've seen. To be able to rent and save up some money is great, but it still takes a lot. It just seems there could be other programs out there that could assist them in this and get them in there a little quicker and let them be proud of something and assure them that they stay in Port Huron. Thank you.
Jeff.
So I think kind of a combination of what a couple of these folks said, I think this gets painted with a broad brush. And I don't think anyone actually has a problem with, I don't think the answer is the number of rentals necessarily. I think people have a problem with slumlords when it comes down to it. That's what we all have a problem with. Nobody wants a slumlord who doesn't take care of their property, who doesn't take care of their residents, and who is really making our city a worse place and affecting all of their neighbors. That's the real problem, and that's a difficult problem to deal with, because you're dealing with individuals that are a problem, not the whole system that's a problem. As far as, you know, what the city can do to help people buy homes and things, there, like Anita Ms. Ashford referred to, there is the Pioneer Home Buying Program that the city already does. I think there are things that, one of the things I've learned as I've started getting to know different organizations in the city is I met the Port Huron Landlord Association, Port Huron Area Landlord Association, and these are some great people. And there are a lot of people, some of them don't live in the city, some of them do, and a lot of them love this city. And I think that anything the city can do to work with them, it really comes down to, there's always going to be, it's like that, you know, that one kid that made everybody do push-ups in gym class. That's what it comes down to, when, I think, when it comes to the rental problem that we see. It's the few bad apples that are painting the picture for the whole bunch. And I think working with the Landlord Association and the landlords that want to work with, I've seen other members of, Kathy up there is my hero, I always tell everyone. She's getting mad at me, but she reorganized her whole, she worked with the landlords in her neighborhood to rezone it. I mean, there's things that we can do as residents, there are things that we can do as a city to help the landlords and the homeowners work together. And that's what I think we need to do.
And Marissa.
So I believe we should continue to promote the existing programs to begin to move renters into homes. Also, I think moving families into homes is imperative that they have living wages, to have quality housing, and will be able to afford quality housing and be comfortable to raise their family in a house or home that meets the needs of that family. Thank you.
Thank you. This is a question from our audience. One of our audience members says, do any of you have thoughts on how we can address the opioid problem in the city of Port Huron? And so again, we'll go in the same order.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just have a suggestion.
Please.
Do you always have to start at this? Can you switch it to that?
We could
end?
Do that.
Why
sure.
Don't you do that?
Okay. Fair enough. All right. So how do we address the opioid problem in our city? Marissa, let's start with you and work our way in the other direction.
Well, in addressing the opioid addiction crisis that's going on in our city, I think it's essential that, well, to begin, I don't think we have enough knowledge of the issue. It's not, people don't know what's going on and how it affects, how it's really going through our cities and who's really impacted by this. It's our city as a whole, but we don't know how our children are becoming addicted to opioids. Also, I think there's not enough knowledge, discussion, or teaching involved to prevent or target this issue. I think it's essential that we utilize our national, state, and local resources to combat this issue. This crisis, and thank you very much.
Jeff Pemberton.
So this is obviously a huge issue, and like I said, it's not unique to Port Huron. I think the benefit to the fact that it's not unique to Port Huron is that we aren't going to be the only ones trying to come up with solutions. And I'm all for being the pioneer when we have to, but I'm a much bigger fan of looking at what other people are doing, finding where they're having success, and seeing how we can modify it and make it better and implement it here. And I think that's an opportunity we're going to have to do, that we're going to have with this, because this is a problem that's, again, affecting the whole country. And it's, as much as it's the drug problem, I'd really rather call it the community problem. When you look at, there's this awesome TED Talk, if you ever get a chance, YouTube it. It's about community and lack of community in people's lives and drug use. When it comes down to the core of that issue, I mean, I've talked to law enforcement about this issue. I've talked to the religious community. I've talked to nonprofits. I've talked to city government officials about this issue. And there's a whole slew of people everyone's trying to solve this problem. There's a whole drug task force to try to deal with this. And there's no easy solution, because the problem isn't that there are drugs that exist. The problem is that people are looking for something more. It's a deeper problem. Sheriff Donnellan was meeting with a group of pastors few months back, and I remember his words stuck with me. He said, when people ask what the biggest problem facing our county is, I tell them it's hope. It's a lack of hope. And I think that's significant. And I don't think city council is going to solve that problem. But again, if we can be the conduit, if we can work together to help, like we're starting through the drug task force, and we can start to get, you know, we're at this time where everyone wants to help solve the problem. And if everyone's kind of doing their own thing off another direction, it's not going to work together. But if we can get people collaboratively working together, we're going to get much closer to finding solutions.
Bob?
I have to agree with Jeff. This is a major problem. I'm sure we're all aware of it. I have to disagree that there's plenty of knowledge on this problem. I think we have a fantastic police force led up with Chief Platzer and a fantastic sheriff, Sheriff Donnellan, that are doing everything they can. But when there's only so many soldiers and the problem is that large and that big, it's just something that makes me think of it. And I'm not a pharmacist, so I cannot think of the drug, but there's billboards now with Sheriff Donnellan on there. And how would you like to save a life? And this is all a counteractor to drugs that you can carry to give to somebody when they've overdosed. That's where we've come to, and that's what we're considering saving a life now. So I'm not sure, I don't have enough knowledge on it, how to solve the problem. I think our police force is on it, serving it, and so is our sheriff. And it's a major problem that needs to be addressed. But I do think there's plenty of knowledge out there, and we need to work on it and see if we can maybe pull in some of our surrounding communities to help us with that. Thank you.
Lisa.
There are pockets in our community of people already working on this problem. We have our church groups working on it. We have healthcare working on it. We have our police and law enforcement working on it. What I would like to see is for us to continue to come together and solve it, because healthcare doesn't have all the answers. Government doesn't have all the answers. The church doesn't have all the answers. And so we need to come together and bring all of those voices together to work on solving this problem. It's a national issue. It's not a Port Huron issue. So if there are models out there that we can rip off and duplicate, modify to Port Huron, I think we need to do that. But I think we already have groups working on this epidemic in our community, and we need them to be together and to be supported.
John?
Who hasn't had, you know, experience of someone in their family or someone, a relative, that has had to deal with this problem? I look at it dividing it into three parts. The person that's the addict, the family that it's affecting, and more importantly, who is more acceptable to start in the first place? Because I think we need to concentrate on prevention, making sure that people know the danger of this drug or those drugs. If we do education beforehand, it's really hard. When a person has started already, it's really hard. It's a long process, and you have to support their family because they're going to need that. But we need to concentrate on preventing people starting in the first place.
Terry?
This was one of my biggest concerns when I decided to run in 2016. Being a nurse, I see the effects and what is the outcome. And we have recovery room or recovery homes that we have established and implemented some guidelines for them, so we can keep track, so we can make sure that they have what is necessary to live and move on. And you know, it's an ongoing problem, and it is huge, and we do need everybody to work together for it.
Anita?
Yes. As City Council, one of the things that we are so privy to get is a report from our city manager, and we are kept up with that. The police supplies him with the data, and I think about a year ago, there were like 7 people ODing, people dying, and then I think the latest one we had was probably last month, where we had probably about 9 overdoses and 2 people didn't make it. So even if it was one person, it's still an issue, and they need help. And we do have a place here in the city of Port Huron that has shown really great promise and hope. It's called the Center. It's over in First Congregational Church. And I've visited over there numerous times, met with the recovery people. It's sort of like a one-stop shop. Anything they need, they provide it there. If it's food, counseling, just a ride here, a ride there, just trying to get them started going back. I think Chief Platzer is on their board of directors. So we do have a lot that's going on out there in the community, and I do think they do need to try to collaborate and get on one page. But the opium problem is not going undressed. So we are there trying to address that and get some help to the people that need it.
Mr. Payne?
Anita, you can be assured of one vote on November the 6th.
What? Is it yours?
I vote.
Oh, thank you. We'll need more than your vote.
I discussed this with my physician a few weeks ago, and he pointed out that a lot of the physicians are responsible for 40% of the people getting hooked on drugs. And he said that a lot of the professional people are taking steps to wean them off of drugs, so I think that's going to be a big help if they all take part in that thinking. I do have a contract with the state of Michigan, and I do rent homes, and some of them are people that have had problems with drugs, and with the probation department and the parole division, we keep a very close eye on it. And a lot of them have turned back into society and have purchased homes and have done very, very well. So I think that is what we can do for that.
Thank you, Art. I have a lot more questions, but we are running short on time. We still have to have our mayoral candidates up here this evening. And so I would just like each one of you to state your case to the voters of the city of Port Huron, why they should elect you to Port Huron City Council, and because we have started at each end. Let's start in the middle. Lisa Beaton, we'll begin with you. Surprise.
I like to be first, so this is great. I'm the little sister in the family, so I like to go first once in a while. I think it all goes back to where we want to see our city go. And we are looking for the next generation to step up and continue the legacy. Again, with Rico choosing to exit, it allowed an opportunity for the next generation to come in and to be a part of continuing the legacy that our current council has started. So when people look around and say, you should be doing that and you should be doing this, I say, well, I want to. I want to be that voice in the community. I want to be the person that you call if you have a question. As you get to know me, you'll know I'm not afraid of the tough questions, and I'm not afraid to come to you directly if I have a question for you. So I think it's important that the next generation has a voice. And on November 6th, I would like you to cast your vote for Lisa Beaton to be that voice.
Bob.
I'll take mine back to my business experience and knowledge. Anybody that I've worked for and that knows me personally knows my work ethic. I'm a hard worker. I seek answers, and I don't stop until I get an answer. There's a lot of problem solving that goes on within the city, ever-changing problems daily, weekly, and monthly. I deal with that on a daily basis. Project managing is, that's what it's all part of, setting budgets. That's what I have to do daily. I have to look in, and then most importantly, to compare it to our city residents, my customer relationships are the most important things to me. And I would go out and talk to the residents of the city to make sure we have what we need and understand their problems. There's three important things that we need to understand. First, the job of a city council member is to set policy on issues that are brought before us from our great heads of all of our departments, our city manager. We set those policies with knowing that we're doing that what we think is best for the majority of the residents of the city of Port Huron. Not what's best for you or your neighborhood, but the majority of the residents. It might not always be best for you, and you're keeping three things in mind when you do that. You're keeping each one of their health, safety, and financial well-being in mind when you do that. That's something that I'm very targeted on. I promise to work hard for you if elected, and I ask for your support on November 6th to put me on City Council. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Jeff Pemberton.
Yeah, so clearly you have a lot of candidates to choose from, and all of us with good intentions. But good intentions aren't enough. We need professional guidance. And I believe that I have the skills, the professional skills, and the relational skills necessary to take Port Huron where we need to go over these next 4 years, to come alongside the other council members, the mayor, the city manager, and continue the good work that needs to be done. I don't believe that I have the answer to every single problem the city faces, but I do believe that I have the desire, the drive, and the determination to find answers and to work together with those that do. You know, as I've gone around, the nice thing I've been able to tell people is I don't have a preset agenda. I am not coming to council with an axe to grind. And as I've spent the last 8 months out going to events, knocking on doors, talking to residents, talking to business owners, I've got to be a listening ear. And if and when elected, I plan to be not only a listening ear, but also a voice for those residents. And so I ask for your vote on November 6th for Jeff Pemberton. Thank you.
Marissa Williams.
Last but not least. So, once again, my name is Marissa Williams, and I'm running for Port Huron City Council. I'm running because I believe in the potential of Port Huron. A lot of my experience, it comes from my education. I've been a part of many projects, and I just want to bring my skills back home, and I want others to bring their skills here, too, just as I have. I believe the time is now for the city to invest in our youth and to move forward with plans to further develop the city by utilizing local skills, talents, and local businesses. Thank you.
Okay, not least and not last either, John Hardman.
Oh, it's okay.
I started back in May considering running for city council, and I decided that I was going to run for city council the way I do a campaign, grassroots. Knocking on doors, finding out what people actually want to hear. I decided I was going to spend 1 week in every precinct, and I did that for 10 weeks. And I got an idea. Before, I had a set of ideas what I thought Port Huron needed, but after I got done with that listening tour, I knew what Port Huron wanted. I mean, I got a good sense. 2,500 people, that's a pretty good number to listen to. So that's the way I'm going to govern if I was very lucky to get on city council, is, you know, get into the streets. I think the problem right now with city council is you just see your council members behind this desk. I want to get into the streets. I want to find out what people need on a regular basis. And I also want to do more than just say yes and no to financial concerns. I want us to be the lead for opioid problems. I want to be the lead on child poverty. I want people to give us reports of what's happening with our city, because that's the way we want to grow. There is two cities in Port Huron. I've lived here all the way in here, but some people go, oh, there's not a south side and a north side. There is. The north side's a lot different than the south side. And so I think the people on the north side have to understand that we need to help the people on the south side, because I think James says it best. You know, we are not, like, until our most vulnerable person is lifted up, you know, we need to concentrate on that a little bit more.
Terry Lamb.
I have a very strong work ethics. I'm dedicated. I'm determined. I hope I can continue to serve you. This is Port Huron, and I hope to see your support on November 6th.
Anita Ashford.
Yes. Well, there's no doubt that I do have a very extensive political background, the things that I have been blessed to do, and I am, first and foremost, a child of God. And so I did think, maybe I wouldn't run. That did cross my mind, but it's not what I could do. You know, as long as you have the tools to do the job, the talent and the health and the vision, there's no reason why I should not continue to represent my city of Port Huron. And with that, I have the heart to serve. Can't nobody take it away from me. I have integrity. And I have the extensive experience to give and at the same time be value added as a member of Port Huron City Council. Because it's not going to be about Anita Ashford, but it's going to be about how Anita Ashford worked collectively with her other counterparts, her colleagues, and the administration. So oftentimes we get here and think it's about us. It's not about me. It's about all of us working together for this great city of Port Huron. So on November the 6th, go out there, color in that dot, don't make a mistake, and return Anita Ashford to the Port Huron City Council. I really want to do this. I'm good at what I do. I don't mind saying that. I don't say that boastfully, but I know he's using me in this capacity, and I would like to continue to serve you as your council person. Thank you.
And finally, Art Payne.
Okay. If I'm fortunate enough to be elected, if you guys elect me, I want to improve and maintain current services within a balanced budget. I would also like to initiate a gathering for a teen civic center in Port Huron. I think we need that here in our city. I definitely want to have some input on moving the Amtrak depot from where it presently is at. And for all you dog pet lovers, I'd like to establish a dog park within the city. I have formed a committee already to look at various pieces of land. And I don't care if you vote for me, but have everybody get out and vote. That's what we got to do in this country. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, candidates. November 6th. Vote for no more than three of these candidates. We are going to take a 5-minute break so that we can change out our council candidates for mayoral candidates. So stretch your legs. 5 minutes, we'll reconvene.